and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. Hello.
Happy Women's Equality Day. That's why I'm wearing white today. We have watched the Republican convention, so you don't have to. And we'll also review the big nights from last week's Democratic convention.
The smear campaign against out-gay congressional candidate Alex Morse in Western Massachusetts has now blown up in the face of the state Democratic Party.
We're going to talk about the breathtaking hypocrisy of Jerry and Becky Falwell and how Jerry may be in more trouble over his relationship with his trainer.
The 75th birthday of LGBT pioneer Marsha P. Johnson was marked this week in New York amidst more racial turmoil around the country.
We're going to talk about in Philadelphia how transgender leader Kendall Stevens was beaten by a mob who pushed into her home.
And a baseball announcer got suspended when he was caught uttering an anti-gay slur. And our hero, Randy Rainbow, is in trouble for past racist and transphobic attempts at humor.
But there was a breakthrough in Uganda that I was happy to read about. And this is indeed Women's Equality Day. And we want to just start off by something that happened this morning. The unveiling in Central Park of a statue to suffragists of Sojourner Truth, Susan B. Anthony, and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. It was unveiled in Central Park. It's the first new statue of any kind in Central Park in 60 years. And Hillary Clinton spoke at the dedication and said it's the first statue of real non-fictional women, the first of an African-American at all, and a statue that depicts three great Americans working together.
And yet, did she mention that Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton were a couple? No.
I don't know.
Well, this is, it's, you know, we talk about the women's suffrage movement. We talk about Black Lives Matter. We talk about a lot of things where lesbians and in other instances, gay men, trans people have prominent roles. And that just isn't mentioned. And there will be people who say, you know, who cares? Well, it has implications across the board when we are invisible.
We will continue to work to uncover our history on this show, if nowhere else.
I think that's why we're here. But yes, Women's Equality Day marking the 100th anniversary of the adoption of women's suffrage. Also a whole controversial campaign, which we don't have time to go into here, but a lot of issues around race and other things. But 50 years ago, on August 26, 1970, they held the first Women's Equality Day march in New York City down Fifth Avenue. And I'm happy to say I was there.
Great.
It was a great day.
What was that like?
It was fabulous. It was a huge, huge crowd, totally unanticipated. People didn't know how many people would turn out.
Who were the leaders of it that we might know?
Bella Abza, Gloria Steinem, other feminist leaders at the time, and tens of thousands of people showed up, starting in Central Park and on to Fifth Avenue and down to Bryant Park, where there was a big rally held, and it was quite amazing.
And in short order, Bella was elected to Congress.
And exactly.
The chief sponsor of the federal gay and lesbian rights law.
Yeah.
So, anyway, which the House passed this year or last year, and the Senate will not vote on. So let's talk about Republicans, because that's why we can't get anything done in this country.
Exactly.
So a lot of people I know just said, I cannot watch this at all. I'm self, you know, preserving myself. I won't watch it. And it was quite scary.
Very traumatizing. Especially the first night. Now, it's Wednesday afternoon. We've only seen the first two nights. And they were sort of apples and oranges. The first night was literally terrifying as Kimberly Guilfoyle was screaming at us.
Folks, Kimberly Guilfoyle, if you don't know, is the partner of, they're not married, of Donald Trump Jr., but she was married to Gavin Newsom, and she was, quote-unquote, the first lady of San Francisco when he was mayor, and she used to go to gay events, although she was quite inappropriate then. She spoke at a New York event where she picked up an award for him, and she said, oh, the gays love Gavin. He's got a big member, and that's what she talked about at this thing. So she's quite mad. And everybody who saw her, I mean, it was frightening.
Well, people were asking me what she and Don Jr. were on. A lot of people are analyzing his eyes as being a little blurry. I like it when people call him DJ TJ.
It was frightening. And
it wasn't just them. I mean, all the speakers, all their fear-mongering, all their lies, just lies and lies and lies about what people would face under the Biden administration. I'm dying for someone to say, excuse me, weren't things peaceful under the Obama-Biden administration? And isn't it in the Trump administration that things have gone crazy? And doesn't it occur to you that if we had rational adults in charge, that even though we might have to argue with them about a lot of issues, it would be a more peaceful time?
As my old boss Bill Lynch used to say, now you're being rational.
Yes, I am.
So, by the way, the Republicans went from, they were going to just, because of the pandemic, they couldn't get together, so they were just going to reissue their platform from 2016. And which is mostly just a tirade against Barack Obama. But they decided to essentially endorse no other platform than I'm with stupid.
Well, the 2016 platform condemns the current president. And so they couldn't use that language. So they had to get rid of it altogether.
Now, from a gay angle, we should talk about the gay angles. When Pence stepped on the stage with Trump on the first night, the band played YMCA.
Yes. And as Trump gave his acceptance speech in the afternoon, they did that, too. We're going to hear from Rick Grenell tomorrow night.
Is he speaking?
He is speaking. Now, this is a disgusting human being who is an out gay man who has been a Trump supporter and a proud conservative for years, was appointed by Trump as ambassador to Germany, where he promptly alienated every member of the European Union. And then as
NDI or is that
what? Or intelligence, whatever. Which is described as a cabinet position, first out
gay cabinet member in history. Why aren't you giving me any credit, Democrats?
Well, in fact, it's a cabinet level position and not an actual member of the cabinet. But he's there because he is so hateful, or was there. He was only there for 2 months.
He did a video for the Log Cabin Club. Now, Log, we don't talk much about them because to me it's a man bite. I'm not trying to be too condescending here, but it's a man bites dog story. They barely exist. But they got a video out of him trashing Biden's record on LGBT issues and making Trump out to be the greatest president for LGBT people in history. We've been under assault forever. I guess he doesn't watch this show.
Well, the Washington Post did a great takedown of that and line by line described how Trump, in fact, is the worst president on LGBTQ issues ever.
They gave him 4 Pinocchios for his lies and distortions.
Yes.
That thing. And by the way, we should mention while this is happening, you know, this is, I mean, we've also got the turmoil over COVID. And this is the week that they trotted out this false cure for COVID with the plasma and rushing it. And Stephen Hahn, the head of the FDA, with no clinical studies of this, no clinical studies. I had to backtrack on what he said, and he misrepresented the data. And this is going to create such turmoil in the country because, you know, already had a lot of people who didn't want to take a vaccine. I was willing to take a vaccine. But now, if they're going to keep trotting things out without clinical studies, I'm not going to.
Well, it's so transparent. Every time they make a positive announcement in a timely moment, like right before a convention, you can guarantee that it's a lie. It's like clockwork. It's so predictable and so obvious.
And then Trump in the East Room with the frontline workers, nobody wearing a mask. And then he makes jokes about the quack cures that he's been promoting all this time. And there are these frontline workers. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's just pathetic. Now, they can't call this a rose garden strategy because Melania ripped out the rose bushes. But and then there are these Trump ads where he's saying he's cutting prescription drug prices with an executive order. He didn't even issue the executive order. They're running ads about it. They're just saying it.
And then he's bragging about getting rid of the payroll tax. Translation, Social Security. If he gets rid of the payroll tax, Social Security runs out in 2023. It is. No more Social Security payments.
It is deeply frightening.
And a footnote, we were graced with the appearance Tuesday night of Sissy Graham something, Billy Graham's granddaughter.
Sissy Graham Lynch.
Attacked trans girls in school sports.
But Billy Graham's another granddaughter, her name is Jerusha Buford, says evangelicals have totally failed by getting behind the Trump presidency and have disgraced themselves.
Oh, no, an apostate in the Graham family?
Well, she actually, I think she might actually believe in God or something, but, you know.
Well, that would be unusual.
There was one, I saw one speaker who sort of referenced gay people, Sean Parnell. He's a Republican candidate running in Pennsylvania for Congress in the 17th against Connor Lamb, who squeaked out a victory the last time outside of Pittsburgh. But he was the only one to say, no matter who you love. So, I mean, I think he's trying to.
Who you loves.
Who you love. Thank you, Barack Obama, for that phrase. This was also the week, lest we forget, that Steve Bannon was arrested. Wasn't he supposed to speak at the convention? And kudos to Attorney General of New York, Tish James, for pursuing testimony from Eric Trump, who also spoke, in a fraud case. And the Manhattan DA, who keeps winning court rulings, seeking Trump's taxes.
And you saw that they had to cancel a speaker at the convention at the last minute, literally the last minute, who was a QAnon believer and other stuff.
But I mean, Trump has endorsed that, and there it is. And it's quite frightening. And it's
all right.
Organization.
Should we review the end of the Democratic convention? Because, again, last week we're in the middle of that.
I don't want to shock people, but I thought Joe gave a good speech.
I thought he did, too. But, you know, John Oliver Sunday night looked at the Democratic convention and said, you know, there's all this talk about how unconventional it was in its presentation and all of that, some of which was true. But he said in the end, it was very conventional when you look at all the Republican speakers who were there. And
I don't want it looking in the next administration. I love the kid, you know, Braden Harrington. Maybe yes. We spoke about him last week, who overcame his stutter with the help of Joe Biden and Gabby Giffords. But you know, the one thing is, you know, if they're trying to appeal to Republicans, but the thing I'm heartened by is polls that show Biden leading with independents now and those who did not vote in 2016. We take nothing for granted. We're going to have to work hard. Cher isn't taking anything for granted. She's doing an LGBT fundraiser for Joe on August 31st.
$1,000 ahead, minimum. Yeah, I worry as I watch the Republican convention, and especially as it got softer on the second night, that there are a lot of people who are looking for an excuse to vote for Trump, and they're going to find it. I just don't know. I was pretty confident in Biden for a long time, and now I'm getting a little worried. I think I'm going to go vote in person, maybe on an early voting day, just so my vote will be counted on election day.
I see. Because certainly what the plan is, it is very possible that Trump is going to do better on election night with who went to the polls, because now it's become a Republican thing. Although he has all those older people, you know, who are supposed to be his, who probably can't go to the polls in many cases. You know, then they're going to try to declare victory, and it's going to take a while to count all the absentee, because you can't start counting absentee ballots until the polls close.
Right. And actually, Hillary Clinton had the best line this week, which was to Biden, do not concede under any circumstances until the last ballot is counted. Do not do what Al Gore did and give up halfway through.
Halfway through, it was November. It was after Thanksgiving, and I don't.
Halfway think, through the count is really what I mean.
Right. Well, they got. Well, I just hope we're in gear the way they're in gear, as these ballots are counted, and there will be people overseeing these processes.
Well, certainly we've been warned.
And
who knows what they have up their sleeves for the next 2 months? They come up with new surprises every day, but
he's sending troops to Kenosha as we tape.
Yep.
All right. Should we go to Springfield, Massachusetts? Speaking of politics,
sure.
That Democratic primary for Congress is September 1st. Alex Morse, 31, out mayor of Holyoke, is seeking to oust the head of the Ways and Means Committee, Richie Neal. And he seems to be surviving these attacks from college Democrats who were in league with top Democratic officials in the state on behalf of Richie Neal. Since the story broke, and it's been proved that it was a smear, he's raised $410,000 and has new offers of help from 800 volunteers, which
it's
means
really-
in the Springfield area.
It's really backfired on the plotters. Once they were exposed by The Intercept, Glenn Greenwald's operation, everything has turned 180 degrees.
Now the Democratic Party is being investigated in the state for their collusion in this thing. The students who wrote the letter are nowhere to be found. And James Roosevelt, the lawyer who helped write the letter for the college Democrats and the smear, he works for a firm that works for, fights Medicare for All, which Alex is for and Richie Neal is doing nothing about.
So, well, you can gauge the level of Richie Neal's desperation by looking at the fact that his committee, the House Ways and Means Committee, put out a report this week on the Health and Human Services Department's waiver for South Carolina to be able to discriminate against LGBT foster and adoptive parents. The report goes on at some length about how this hurts kids and parents, and it's a quite scathing report. But I was interested to see that it was coming out of Richie Neal's House Ways and Means Committee at this moment.
Yes. But the larger context here is what happens to gay candidates and the way people talk about their sex lives. And Elliot Ismay from the Victory Fund said, it's really important for us that attacks on a candidate's sex life backfire. He worries about inhibiting other LGBT candidates. Morse himself said he was devastated by, strangers on the internet who condemned him over this. And he said, I won't apologize for being gay and for using gay dating apps and going on dates with other adult men. I won't apologize for being human.
And the Victory Fund really stands out as an organization that stood with him through all this. When the first news broke that he was being accused of being inappropriate with college student men, A lot of his supporters walked away from him, at least took a let's wait and see attitude. The Victory Fund talked to him, got his side of the story, and stood with him firmly and said, we believe him, we are supporting him, we are not backing away. And that was a very brave thing to do at that point.
On the other hand, in Kansas, the Democratic candidate for the state house, Aaron Coleman, 19, he won a primary.
He's a mess.
He has withdrawn from the race over evidence of harassment of girls in middle school, including revenge porn, leading to the attempted suicide of one of the girls. It's very hard to remove him from the ballot, but he says, if I'm elected, I'll resign. And the incumbent...
Is he gay?
No, but it was girls. I'm just saying it's a scandal thing. That's all.
Well, maybe we move on now to we are moving on to our next scandal. Sorry. Virginia.
Okay.
The Falwells.
Yes. Well, so, all right, Jerry Falwell Jr., wife Becky, and, pool boy and business partner Giancarlo Grande. This story broke last year, but now Jerry is admitting to the affair that his wife had and called it brief. It went on for 7 years, and he claimed he was being extorted by Grande. So Grande immediately talked to Reuters. He showed photos of the trysts to Reuters, texts that they had exchanged, and said that Jerry liked to watch when they had sex, so that made him a participant in a threesome. They all met by the pool at the Fontainebleau, and back in 2011 or something, or 2012. And the first thing Becky said to the kid was, my husband likes to watch, and the kid was with some young women, and he said, you need a older woman, it's so lurid. Now, this is the kind of behavior, of course, why are we talking about it? Because it gets you expelled from Liberty University. It still does. Having a drink of alcohol gets you expelled from that.
Let's be clear. Adults can do anything they want sexually that doesn't harm anyone as far as we're concerned. We are not condemning the idea of what they were doing.
Condemning hypocrisy. And here's the hypocrisy. Why don't we go to the videotape and listen to Becky in an interview last year with Lara Trump.
You're there at Liberty University, and you guys are training tomorrow's workforce, but you're also promoting traditional family values, something that I think is incredibly important right now. Why are you guys focusing on that? Why do you think that's so important?
We are so proud of our students here at Liberty, and it's just such an honor to be able to serve alongside them. And we hear from every speaker that comes to town that they meet our students, and they said our students have this heart of servant, serving others and going on mission trips. And we try to teach good family values and good morals, and we have a family atmosphere, and everybody prays together, and everybody as friends and has a family, and we celebrate birthdays. My daughter, I told you her earlier, she's a sophomore here and has made the best friends, and she will have them for life. And we're just so proud of our students.
And now she says, I wish people would be as forgiving as Christ was. You don't forgive anybody in your school. Expel people. Now, obviously zero tolerance for homosexuality, but also for extramarital sex. Now, I think the reason this scandal broke is was because the Michael Cohen book is going to be coming out. Michael Cohen had seen the pictures, and I think it's evident that Michael Cohen essentially extorted Jerry Falwell into endorsing Trump in 2016. Everybody was surprised when Jerry Falwell did it. He was in line to be endorsing Ted Cruz, a big fundamentalist Christian. And then he surprised everybody. Why did he do that? And Jerry Falwell defended Trump when the Access Hollywood tape came out about grabbing and everything like that. Jerry was there on television saying, well, it's fine, giving him evangelical cover.
Well, a lot of those evangelicals give Trump cover. I'll be interested to see if this does come up in the Michael Cohen book. Granda, the pool boy's story is that he was trying to negotiate a settlement of their business partnership with Jerry, and that broke down. And so he said, I'm not covering for you anymore, and broke the story.
Well, Jerry is being given a $10 million severance from this place, which is a Liberty, which is a multi-billion dollar operation. But there's also evidence that Becky may have had an affair with Benjamin Crosswhite, their trainer, who they met when he was 23. And I think that the Attorney General of Virginia ought to be looking at how university funds were misused to give this guy sweetheart deals of $1.2 million. 23-year-old kid who wants to open a gym, let's give him $1.2 million from the university. That's all the kind of stuff that, you know, gets you in a lot of trouble with the Charities Bureau.
Wow. A lot of corruption going around. All right. On another note, the Supreme Court has announced that they will hear oral arguments on November 4th, the day after the election, in the Fulton versus City of Philadelphia case, which is the case about Catholic Social Services wanting to retain city money while they discriminate against LGBTQ parents in adoption or foster care.
Makes us very nervous. So they're waiting till the day after election. All the major child welfare organizations are filing amicus briefs on our behalf, 30 major corporations, 172 members of Congress, 30 civil rights groups. It makes us very nervous. I mean,
We're nervous about all this stuff, but I'm getting more optimistic after the Bostic decision. Maybe I'm swinging too far the other way, but and there's another decision this week that referenced that. But
the concept here, folks, is if, and it should always be true, if you want to receive government money to perform a service for the public, you have to follow non-discrimination laws in the provision of that service. Now, but a lot of this stuff is going to the wayside. Look what happened with all the emergency aid. It went directly to churches.
Oh, God. Billions. And or hundreds of millions. And what was I going to say? I'll remember it. The Virginia Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, meanwhile, decided again that Gavin Grimm was right in demanding access to the appropriate bathroom facilities and his records being correct as a trans man in high school. And that decision was based on the Bostic decision, even though it was it was Title IX of the Education Act, rather than Title VII of the Civil Rights Bill, because now everyone is saying this principle has been established that if you have a rule against sex discrimination, that applies in terms of sexual orientation or gender identity.
The Kansas Human Rights Commission will now hear LGBT cases in response to the Bostock decision, which says that sexual orientation, gender identity discrimination is sex discrimination. And they're expanding it beyond employment cases to housing, public accommodations, retail,
yes,
educational institutions. And they're going to cover businesses of four or more. The Bostock decision only covers, 15 or more.
Yeah. So
it's really getting...
People are jumping on it. And this Fulton versus the City of Philadelphia is an issue because Philadelphia does have a non-discrimination law. And that's why they defunded Catholic Social Services, because they were not following the non-discrimination law in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I was a former city human rights commissioner. Exemptions for religious organizations are not supposed to be blanket, but they're getting that way at this point. Everybody's a minister, including the janitor. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I'm just saying that there used to be a certain amount of coverage for religious organizations for discrimination, especially for sex discrimination and race discrimination, disability discrimination. That seems to be going out the window.
Well, a coalition of LGBTQ youth organizations, foster care youth organizations, and Indian tribes are filing suit this week against the federal government for erasing their identities in federal data. That suit is about to be filed tomorrow as we're taping, and that's another challenge to the government's attempt to erase all of us, which is really their path.
That's why we need a new administration. Probably need a whole new...
I've heard that, yeah. Good news in California, the Assembly Appropriations Committee has passed a law that allows trans people to update their marriage certificates and birth certificates of kids more easily. That's a good step forward. Let me get a couple more of those. The State Appeals Court in Texas has rejected a right-wing attempt to challenge the city of San Antonio's decision to forbid a Chick-fil-A facility at the airport. I had no hope that anybody in Texas would allow anybody to interfere with Chick-fil-A, but the court has upheld.
Especially since the state legislature passed the law saying that you sort of can't inquire about religion or discriminate on based religion.
Well, the court says that law cannot stand and that the government of San Antonio has immunity to pass that law.
Very exciting.
Yeah. In Minnesota, both the towns of Winona and West St. Paul, the city councils have banned conversion therapy there.
In Holland, Michigan, the city council passed a non-discrimination provision on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. 8-1, Holland, Michigan.
At 2 o'clock in the morning. And they defeated, somebody got up and said, well, you know, this is okay, but let's delete the stuff about gender identity and expression. And they said, no, we're leaving it in.
All right. What's going on with those Prop 8 tapes? It looks as the Ninth Circuit put a temporary stay on the release of them. This is quite a saga. Maybe we should just tell you when they're out and show them.
Yeah, I thought we did discuss the latest on that last week.
All right.
Heber City, Utah is fighting over pride flags. Because, you know, it's a very conservative area of Utah, and there are residents who object to flying pride flags. So the compromise is that only, you know, government flags will fly in the city on light posts and such, unless the city approves and okays alternate flags. So pride flags are not specifically barred, but they require an extra level of approval before they are flown in that way.
Like the fight on military bases over flags. In Pittsburgh, the Delta Foundation that runs the Pride Parade is dissolving. They were spending about $800,000 a year on the annual event, and they've been around for 25 years, but there was no parade this year, no revenue, so they're closing up shop. I hope just a group of people like Reclaim Pride in New York just picks it up and just marches down the street. And
yes, no floats, no contingents, just people.
Yes.
That's our motto. All right. Well, speaking of just people, Marsha P. Johnson, we told you some months ago that Governor Cuomo in New York had designated a park in Brooklyn as a monument to Marsha P. Johnson. Okay. Not because, by the way, that she had any connection with the park or Brooklyn for that matter, but because that's where there was some state land available that they could designate. So now they've made it really
either murdered or, you know, the police initially said suicide, but it's an open case. Marsha P. Johnson, by the way, was a drag queen. That's how Marsha described herself. She also described herself as a gay man, but she's embraced by the transgender community very deeply. And she turned 75 this week, but she died in 20. When was it?
No, I think it was
1992. At the age of 46.
Yeah. But she was a great activist, and particularly by creating, with Sylvia Rivera and others, a STAR, Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries.
Action Revolutionaries.
Yes. And they had a shelter, a housing situation for trans youth who were homeless on the streets. And that was a truly revolutionary thing to do. And so she is a hero of the movement. And so this is the first
ball involved in the early gay liberation front. And yeah. Someone who was just on the street all the time is a visible expression of us.
Yeah. So the park has been designated officially now, and they've issued plans. I can't see this on the screen, but we have one shot, an overhead shot of a schematic of what the park is going to look like. Very, very colorful, as was Marcia herself.
It was. Well, the picture that we showed of Marcia, I hope we've shown it, is of her in one of her more colorful outfits.
Yeah, so it actually looks like a great place that's going to be very welcoming to everybody. And it's going to have an educational center and tell a lot of the story of the movement.
And in Washington Square Park on Monday, there was a commemoration of her 75th birthday, and which eventually moved to the pier. Hundreds rallied in Washington Square, and it eventually merged with a march for Jacob Blake, the man who was shot, the unarmed black man in Kenosha, who was shot 7 times in the back there and paralyzed. And the rally was fed by a Black Pride march for Bayard Rustin, technically honoring the 33rd anniversary of his passing. So it was quite a day. I was there. Yeah, and we took some pictures, and there they are.
And we lost a few other people in the last week. Joseph Kitchen Jr. was the young president of the Maryland Young Democrats, found dead in his apartment in D.C. Cause of death not known yet or not made public. The only thing we know is that he was very upset about COVID, very scared of that. I don't know if that has any relevance to his death, but he...
Very active in Black Lives Matter, very active in the fight in Maryland for same-sex marriage. Worked as an administrator at the Washington Middle School for Girls, originally from Fresno. So that was very sorry to see him go.
Also sorry to lose Chi-Chi Devane at age 34 in Shreveport, Louisiana. Chi-Chi was a major star of the RuPaul Drag Race shows. She was on a couple of the seasons. Very popular, beloved by fellow contestants, famous for her backflips. And her performances. She had scleroderma, which is a very debilitating autoimmune disease, and died of pneumonia, which would be related to that, in Shreveport. Very sad.
Let's go back to Philadelphia. I just read about this morning. Kendall Stevens, 34, a trans woman. All right. It's 11 o'clock at night. So she, goes to the door, and there's a whole rowdy crowd outside. Could you keep it down? And they start shouting anti-trans slurs, push their way into the apartment where she lives with her husband, and where her goddaughter and another child were in the house, and they beat her senseless. And the police do seem to be treating this as a hate crime. They're investigating. She's a leader in the trans community down there in Philadelphia.
Senseless, but not dead.
No.
I just want to be clear, since we're talking about people who have died.
No, absolutely. She's alive, and she's speaking out because she's an activist.
Yeah.
And she co-facilitates the Trans Way support group there, and she interns at something called the Morris Home, a residential recovery program for trans and gender nonconforming people. Philadelphia Gay News has written about her quite a bit, and her activism and her work. So very, very sorry to read about her getting beaten up.
And we're sorry to read about the death of Sergeant Elder Fernandez of Fort Hood, Texas, who at 23 was found hanging from a tree. Now, the cops are saying they do not suspect foul play, but I don't think that has been finally determined yet.
He was being sexually harassed or assaulted on the base. He was shifted to another unit. As a result, it was being investigated, but we just don't know what happened here. And he's dead.
Yeah. Still alive, Tom Brenneman, sports announcer for Fox Sports, in Cincinnati, an announcer for the Cincinnati Reds. So he's calling a baseball game, and they come out of a commercial, and he doesn't realize that the mic is hot, and he's on the air, and he is making a statement about, oh, that's one of the fag capitals of the world. We still don't know what city he's referring to, but people lost their minds immediately, which I think is kind of impressive. You know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, would they even have batted an eyelash?
Well, first he gave one of those I do know a prominent New York reporter in 1986, and a friend of mine was coming into City Hall when the gay rights bill was being voted on, and they asked, I'm not going to say the guy's name because it's at this point, but my friend heard somebody say, well, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, I'm covering the fag bill. You know, that's the way they talked. That's the way.
Exactly my point. Yes. Well, not in 2020, evidently, in all venues, because he has been yanked. He has been yanked off baseball. He's been yanked off football. But of course, the thing that, of course, is so offensive is when he starts apologizing, but saying, I'm a man of faith. This is not me. Well, of course, it's you. You said it.
It's not who I am. Who is it then? Could it be Satan?
Was there a ventriloquist operating your mouth?
The first thing they say is, I apologize if I offended anyone. And then somebody got a hold of him and said, oh, no. Oh, so now it's, I apologize to the LGBTQ community from the bottom of my heart. You know, and then it gets all very serious. And now aren't some, you know, LGBT groups going to now, like, try to work with him to rehabilitate him or something?
It's the rehabilitation camp. That's not a very appetizing image.
Where is Randy Rainbow going to go for rehabilitation?
Oh, wait a minute. I just want to note that, of course, Cincinnati is the home of the legendary bigot Marge Schott, who was the owner of the Cincinnati Reds. And Pete Rose was not the most politically correct or polite human being either. So,
okay,
whatever. I'm sure there are lovely people in Cincinnati. Those are not some of them.
I don't know what kind of capital it is, but it is the Queen City, isn't it?
That's true. All right, Randy Rainbow.
He's in deep trouble. And, you know, I've really enjoyed Randy's videos. I think they're brilliant. All right, but this is only like 2011 that somebody dug up his tweets. Racist, transphobic, anti-Semitic. He's Jewish, too. But, I mean, just, you know, it's the kind of humor that you used to see from late night comics. I call it lazy humor. You go into a stereotypical comment, and it's stupid. It's not funny. He was trying to be funny. But, you know, he wasn't a teenager when he did this or anything. Now he says, where have you heard this before? There's not a racist or intolerant bone in my body. Well, don't say that. We all have to struggle. Everybody's a little bit racist, according to Avenue Q, you know, so we all have to wrestle with these things. So he's really got to be a little bit more honest about what was going on.
Well, 'twas ever thus. All right. Should we move on to international news? We don't have all the time in the world left.
So I'm so impressed with what's going on in Belarus and the people standing up there.
Oh, my God.
Now, they have turned out 100,000 people in a country of 9.5 million. If the equivalent in the United States means 3.5 million people here getting out in the streets, and that's what you're going to get prepared for that if this election is stolen.
Well, that's what we did during the Vietnam War when the population was smaller and we would bring 1 million people to Washington, D.C. That's what has to happen to make real change. Anyway, Belarus, yes. What was that thing about they had a line of people from one city to another? Unbelievable. Unbelievable courage. And
for those of you who don't follow it, this is a dictator who's been there for 26 years who just stole an election. And that's what we're living under right now. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Every day.
All right. Other countries. Are we happy that the Pope supports trans people in Argentina?
Let's talk about that, because he's also called it nuclear war.
Well, a nun he knew in Argentina wrote him a note saying she was housing trans people, and he wrote her back a note saying, A God who did not go to seminary or study theology will repay you abundantly. I will pray for you and your girls.
Well, please. How about speaking out when LGBT people get fired from Catholic institutions, Holy Father?
That would be nice. All right. The Privy Council in the United Kingdom has announced that they will be hearing the Bermuda marriage case February 3rd and 4th. Marriage is legal in Bermuda at this point, same-sex marriage. They are only having a few each year, but it's happening. And this may affect same-sex marriage legality in 17 other UK territories and countries. So set your watches for February 3rd and 4th.
Or fail the Privy Council. My favorite story this week comes from Uganda, and this is a story we've been covering for basically a year now. Those officials who tortured LGBT young people have been now summoned before the court, including the town mayor, the senior prison official. This is where men were beaten, humiliated, and imprisoned for 50 days without being able to see counsel. So even for Uganda, they're like saying, no, this is not our system. They were fined, these officials. There was a settlement for the victims of 5 million shillings each. Now, that's $1,365. It's not chump change. And the Human Rights Watch hopes that this case will deter future abuse in Uganda.
It's very impressive and, again, unexpected that the court would call in the prison officials and condemn them for this. It's really stunning and a great leap forward, I hope. We'll see.
Okay.
Meanwhile, a TV network in Turkey, under the thumb of President Trump's favorite, Erdogan, was fined for featuring a lesbian mom and her child on a TV program.
No, they were fined for depicting it as normal.
Well, I suppose they could have done otherwise. I did think that the commentators who talked about the Republican convention and pointed out that Trump was talking to the people he'd had released from various jails around the world, sat there and said to the guy who'd been released from Turkey, you know, Erdogan, what a great guy.
It's insane. In Japan, they're counting same-sex couples as other relatives in the census, not as partners. There's an uproar from the LGBT movement there over that.
Yeah, at least we're a step ahead on that. In Denmark, however, the government is creating a whole package of bills to take to Parliament that are going to be easier gender changes, non-discrimination laws, easier parental designations. They've sat down and thought about this and put together an actual package of bills. Very impressive.
Which we will do if we win back the Congress, both houses of Congress and the White House. In Poland, the European Parliament members are referring Poland to the European Commission over the LGBTQ arrests at the Polish Stonewall Rebellion that they basically had there.
Well, I think the OAS ought to go after some Central American countries. In Guatemala, a trans woman known as Jasmine, that's how they're designating her to protect everybody's identity, fled El Salvador seeking refugee status in Guatemala, murdered in Guatemala. Just not safe for trans people in any of those countries.
In Shanghai, they've shut down Pride there under pressure from the local authorities, who they say have been disrupting their lives so badly that they just can't go on.
And in India, the government has created a National Council for Transgender Persons.
Oh. Now, we told you, I don't think we covered this aspect of it, that we said that the Australian state of Queensland was going to ban conversion therapy, but the local activists, LGBTQI activists.
Actually, we did talk about that.
It was utterly ineffective?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't remember that part.
Well, probably because I said it.
Oh, no. Sometimes I'm going on to the next story.
I know.
Don't be mean to elderly people. Okay.
AIDS news.
What else have we got? Okay, AIDS news.
District of Columbia came out with a report on the last year or two of cases, and their cases last year were drastically down from the previous year and even more seriously down from previous years. Last year, 282 new cases of HIV diagnosed, down from 335 the year before and down from 1,374 in 2007.
That's a 16% decline from 2018 and 79% from 2007.
They attribute this to PrEP, more people using prevention drugs, Truvada, and that people, more people with HIV are on good treatment and are treating to suppression of the virus, so they're not communicable.
Well, I don't know how they totally get this statistic, but they say 90% of people who have HIV know it now. I mean, you know.
I never believed that, especially since they say there's less HIV testing this year because of COVID. So the city is actually handing out free home HIV tests. If you are living in D.C. and want to test for HIV and don't want to go to a clinic, the city will give you a free home HIV test.
Then they say that 59% of those who are virally suppressed within 90 days of diagnosis, which is up from 45%. Of course, we want to get that up to 100%.
They also say that cases of HIV from IV drug use, which in 2007 were 150 in that year, last year were two. Two cases attributed to to IV drug use, and they attribute that drop to their needle exchange program.
All right. This is encouraging in San Francisco. Mayor London Breed has announced continued funding for trans and HIV housing subsidies. Now, it's nice to see that in the midst of the pandemic, because we ought to be bracing ourselves for all kinds of cuts that are going to be coming down the road in every city and state in the country with you know, what's going on.
Okay, entertainment news?
Yeah.
I have a report from the Hallmark Channel.
Okay.
We told you about how they were going to include a lesbian couple in their TV movie Wedding Every Weekend. Where
was it any good?
No, it was kind of wooden and, you know, unbelievable. But the viewers loved it. Lots of viewer comments saying that they applauded the inclusion of the lesbian couple. They actually, it was a straight couple going to four different weddings. One was the lesbian wedding. Another was a Jewish wedding. Another was an interracial wedding and a black wedding. And the viewers just thought it was all terrific.
Right. Okay. The Tony Awards are back for the fall. That's good news for The Inheritance, among other shows, because it was a very truncated season. By the way, the producer of the Democratic Convention is the guy who did the Tony Awards, whereas the Republicans, you know, slapped something together at the last minute because they kept thinking they were going to go to a big hall in Jacksonville.
I saw Mick Mulvaney today defending all their violations of the Hatch Act, all their use of federal buildings. He says, Hey, really, it's only a technicality. We followed the spirit of the Hatch Act. We didn't have some government official getting up there and saying to all his employees, you have to vote for President Trump. We were fine. It's not a big deal. Ignore the man behind the curtain.
All right. A couple of things to tell you about coming up. One coming up on HBO Max. It's called Equal. Now, it's not coming out to October. It's about the early post-Stonewall LGBT movement. But we have a still from the production of an actor named Cole Doman playing our friend Mark Siegel, the founder of the Philadelphia Gay News, at the age of 18, because he was in Gay Youth and Gay Liberation Front at that time. He's a Stonewall veteran. So forward to that. And the other HBO Max thing is something called Single Town. It's a UK import. Five couples break up at the beginning of the show, and then they go off to separate luxury apartments with each other. Five people. But they don't tell them that it's in the same building and they're going to keep running into their exes. But what I liked about it, I'm not crazy about this kind of stuff, is that the gay couple is just so integrated. It's just there. Nobody bats an eye. It's just integrated into the whole thing. Charlie and Elliot, most of the couples are interracial. So it has that going for it.
I think a lot of what we see these days in TV and movies is a very casual display of same-sex couples or gay people.
Yeah.
I think the attempt is to make it more routine, which is what we've always asked for.
Yes, that's what we want. We just want integration. We're all-time integrationists. That's what the whole country needs, but it's a long way.
There are a lot of people who are upset that we are not continuing to regard ourselves as unique and better. But
Larry Kramer?
Whatever. Larry thought we were special. And I do think that various communities, whether by race or sexual orientation or gender, who have experienced discrimination and rejection do have a more finely tuned experience of the world and a little more depth of understanding. Not all. This is a vast overgeneralization.
I'm a white boy from the suburbs, you know. I don't think I would be involved in all of these things if I hadn't been gay and it hadn't given me some perspective on what people go through when they're discriminated against.
Well, that's basically my point.
All right. Should I tell you about how I went to the post office this week?
Oh, please.
Oh, a little bit of that. You could run this video. Maybe I can talk over it. It's video from Saturday's action. There were 800 actions across the country where people went to their post offices, and we didn't expect this to happen. You know, we had about 40 people supporting the post office. All the postal workers started coming out at, you know, of the entire thing. They were applauding us. We were applauding them. And, you know, these days. But it was just so very nice to see them. We have to say the post office. Stop the coup. Stop the coup.
Well, it's hard to tell as they hold these congressional hearings. Have we shown enough of a light on this to stop the coup and the destruction, or are they just going to go ahead and do it anyway?
There was one postal place that reinstall the high delivery machines against orders. That's the kind of thing that has to happen. I mean, I watched those hearings with the Postmaster General, who doesn't know how much it costs to send mail. Katie
Porter. Postcard, he doesn't know.
A whole bunch of things he was asked about by Katie Porter. He didn't know.
But I kept wanting him to be asked, well, if you say these machines are not needed and everything is fine and it's all good, why is the mail delayed all over the place? I didn't hear that question. And that seemed to me the crux of the matter.
And, well, we're down to our last 30 seconds. We're going to have to go back to watching the Republican convention tonight for you.
Who do we get? Did we get Kellyanne Conway tonight?
at least she's stepping down.
And Mother Pence. We get Mother Pence.
For the family.
Yeah, maybe they'll talk about the fall wells. No. All right, see you next week.
Thank you for being with us, and we do hope to see you next week, and thank you for watching.
Bye.